assembled together with others of like precious faith and lend to give our worship to our Heavenly Father. So I appreciate your desire to be here today very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning for those who would like to follow along. I would ask brethren to kind of look around and make sure if you see a guest or someone, feel free to even go up and back in the foyer and get a bulletin. That won't bother me at all. Just don't keep walking out. Come back in. And I know the first thing you're going to do is look at how many things are on there, 11 items, and you're going to say, wow, 11 items, and I was praying for a short sermon. But it'll be short. There's several things on here I'm just going to note or just kind of draw attention to and move right along. But the lesson is on prayer. Hindrum, I call it, things that hinder prayer. People always wonder when the subject of prayer comes up. They even ask themselves, you know, I've heard about all the promises that God hears and answers prayer. They say, I know all the Bible admonitions to pray. I've read about Bible people that prevailed in prayer. There have been times in my life I've prayed persistently, earnestly. I thought something legitimate, but sometimes my prayer, I just feel like my prayer wasn't answered. So then we get discouraged. We get discouraged and we say, you know, does God really answer prayer? How about, does he answer all prayer? And if so, I wonder, why doesn't God answer mine? Why doesn't he answer mine? And he does, that's right, the conclusion. He answers your prayer. I remember the story of an army private. You've heard it before, I know, but I'd like to hear it again. So I'm going to tell it. But an army private was sleeping on duty while he was on watch. And while he was sleeping, he was awakened by footsteps. He thought, oh no, but he still kept his eyes closed and the footsteps stopped right in front of him. He said, oh, that's the sergeant or the commanding officer. What am I going to do? So all of a sudden, he decides, still with his eyes closed, he said, and God bless everybody, forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. And then he opened his eyes. I don't know if his prayer was answered. He just said, forgive us for sleeping on duty, but I don't know. But that's the story. Let's take a look at just some of these things, because I know, and even Satan knows, that prayer has power. Prayer can move us forward like an army. Prayer can reach the hearts of loved ones. When we pray, I know we can convict, it has power to convict people of their sins. With our prayers, we can work in a spirit of unity. But because of Satan knowing the power of prayer, he wants to jam our communication with God. And these are some of the things the Bible mentions that can jam our communication with God. So we also kind of title it, Can You Hear Me, God? Can you hear me? So let's take a look at some of the things in the list. And I'm not even sure if this exhausts the list, but if you need more than 11 things to convince you to live right, you know, we need to talk. But number one, some of the devil's jamming devices. Number one is pride and self-righteousness. And that was in the text that was read to us in Luke chapter 18. When you think about what's wrong with pride, or what's wrong with self-righteousness, everything points to self. Because pride is self-trust. Pride is self-sufficiency. Pride is self-glory. Self-will, self-serving, self-seeking. The opening phrase of the text that was read to us in Luke 18, beginning at verse 9. Jesus spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And it hindered their prayer life. In the story, two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men. But only one had his prayer answered. He was answered according to his request. And said, Jesus said, this man, this one, not the other, this one, went down to his house justified rather than the other. The one thing that the devil can use to jam our communication with God is saying, I'm okay, God, I don't need you. God, everything's all right with me. That's self-interest, self-glory, and self-trust. Everything points to self. I can do it by myself. Thank you. Well, you can. Number two, in Proverbs 21, verse 13, the wise man said, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. You mean I have to think about others? I have to involve myself in ministry and care and concern for someone else. Oh, yes. I don't know who the author of the poem is, but said, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer will be for others. Help me, God, in all the work I do, to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I may live for thee. Others. So when we are not other people minded, we don't involve ourselves in ministry or service. I wonder, why doesn't God hear me? Might be the reason. Number three, willful sin or disobedience. In Isaiah 59, beginning of verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. You heard that first phrase? Not the problem with the Lord. The Lord's hand is not shortened. The Lord doesn't have, we say, alligator arms. The Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. The problem is not with the Lord. But if your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and the verse goes on, Isaiah said, your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Well, where's the responsibility? Can you hear me, God? My sins, my iniquities. I'm just listing a few other verses for you to kind of impress upon this truth. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Ooh. That's more serious than I thought. I want to know if I'm okay with God. If I want to talk to him. See, God won't listen to my prayer unless I listen to his precepts. Two-way street. I need to listen to God if I want God to listen to me. Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. 1 Peter 3, 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Wouldn't I have to live? Right? I mean, I can't live this any way I want to. No, you can't. I have to live my life according to what God expects and wants of me. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Problem. Not with God. With me. Number four is doubt. Doubt. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I'm just going to ask God. That's right. don't think again. How come God doesn't hear me? Number five is just a failure to ask. It's kind of an easy one, isn't it? How come God doesn't hear me? Well, you haven't asked. You haven't talked to Him. James 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. That's an easy answer to the question. How come God hasn't given me what I've requested? Well, you haven't requested. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 7, ask. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Or don't be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Number six is selfishness. James 4, verse 3. He asked, okay, well, God, now I've asked. Now answer my prayer. Well, James says, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it in your own lust. Yeah. Sometimes that goes back to selfishness. Maybe we're asking God to satisfy our greed instead of our needs. Selfish pleasures. Remember the story of a little boy. It's in Texas, by the way. They always make for better stories when you tell them they're from Texas. Little boy, during his evening prayers, and he said he's bowing down, and dad's listening to him say his evening prayers before bedtime. He says, dear Lord, says, bless mom and dad and bless our home. And he said, and please, please, dear Lord, make El Paso the capital of Texas. Amen. When he finished, dad, hearing his prayer, said, son, why are you praying for El Paso to be the capital of Texas? Little boy said, well, because that's what I put on my geography test paper this morning. I know God hears and answers prayer, but you know, I don't think He's going to change the capital of Texas. So you can get a better grade on your geography test. Maybe He can. Number seven, unforgiving attitude. Oh. Jesus said this when He was teaching His disciples to pray. And Jesus, in teaching or giving instruction to His disciples, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14, says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, or their sins, their iniquities, their debts, obligations, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Jesus said, even previously in verse 12, in teaching them, we pray, Father, forgive us our debts or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others their debts or their trespasses or their iniquities against us. So one reason perhaps why we don't receive what we want from God is because we haven't done what God wants us to do for others again. And don't we end all of our prayers, typically, the last we've done all praising God and thanking God and asking God, and then we say, and forgive us our sins in Jesus' name, amen. I want forgiveness of my sins. But Jesus, in teaching others to pray, said when you pray and you pray, forgive me, God will answer that prayer, but in accordance as you have forgiven others. Wow. Wow. Forgive others. Number eight. Just do nothing. Just neglect. Colossians 4, verse 2. I just put these in your notes just to list them. Continue in prayer, but that's not the period. It doesn't end there. Don't just pray. A lot of people say, people will be like, oh, I'm a praying man. Now that's good. That's not the only biblical requirement of your life and your relationship to God. Yeah, pray. But then he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. So what do we pray for? Oh, God, help me me to be a better person. Well, then be a better person. Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Prayer is not a, I put that at the very end, prayer is not a substitute for obedience. Prayer is not a substitute for worship or for work or for ministry or for helping. Oh, well, I'm a praying man. Well, great. God would come and say, what have you done for me lately? God would chop down. Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, not my will, but thine be done. So when we come to God in prayer, it's an attitude of saying, God, speak, I'm listening. If you send, I'll go. Not my will, but yours be done. Command and I'll obey. But too many people want to serve God on their own terms. We're not looking for it. Number nine. I know you get the message. Number nine. Family relationship. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 says, your husbands, in like manner dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman. So husbands, have this knowledge. Peter writes it right there. He said, you need to know this, husbands. Honor your wife or the woman, because you are joint heirs of the grace of life. And then you do it to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Family relationships. If we're not getting along, we can't get along with God. Husbands, dwell with your wives with that knowledge in mind. You are joint heirs. And if you can't get along, then you say, oh, God, hear me. No, God says, that hinders your prayer. You need to get along to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Number 10. Number 10. So if you've been praying, short sermon, I'll take care of that one. Number 10. There's only 11. Number 10. Someone has a friend that knocked at the door. If you remember the story in Luke chapter 11. And don't trouble me. But then at the very end, Jesus tells the story and he gives a lesson. He says, though he will not rise and give him because he's a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as much as he needs. So we need to be, that's the idea of continue in prayer. Pray persistently. You can pray for the same thing over and over again. In Luke 18, verse 1, he spake to Jesus, it says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Come on, we give up. Oh, God, I prayed for this. I didn't get an answer when I wanted to. I'm giving up. No. The Bible says right here, you ought always to pray and not faint. Ask again. How many of you have children? And that child comes running up and says, Mom or Dad, can I have this? And you say, no, or wait a while, maybe later. Think they'd say, oh, okay. So the mom, well, you didn't hear me. Dad, mom, come on. That's his lesson. Just as children keep asking. We're children of God. Father, hear me. And we're sincere about the need that we have. We pray again, Father, hear me. Romans 12, verse 12 says, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. Don't give up on God. And then the last one, number 11. Sometimes people pray just to be seen by others. Jesus called out the Pharisees on this one. These religious leaders. In Matthew 6 and verse 5, Jesus says, when you pray, talking to his disciples, when you pray, he sets the Pharisees up as the model, the example of what not to do. Oh, you see those Pharisees over there? Oh, God. Jesus, don't do that. thyself. He said, when you pray, thou shalt not be as the Pharisees are. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. I don't know what they were praying for, what the content of their prayer, but have they, their purpose in prayer was answered. They probably look around. Okay, now. Oh, God, here. Probably talk loud and long. Jesus mentioned, when you pray, don't use the vain repetition. Jesus, these are some of the things that are thrown up against us and that jams our communications with God. Now, put it at the very end. Sometimes people say, does God answer prayer? And the answer is yes. But just like with, even with us, whatever the relationship is, we ask, will you help me with this? Or would you do this for me? Can I or may I to another? And there might be a response like one of these here. So certainly God can say yes. You know, and the answer is yes. And right now, sometimes we've had prayers like that. We pray for safe journeys before we travel. When we get back, I hope we always say, thank you, God. That was an answered prayer. That was answered right then. Give me a safe journey. God said, yes. You had a safe journey. Or God can say no. But maybe not the safe journey. But there's something else in life that you ask for. Might say no. But you also say, wait, this is parents do with children. Sometimes I told the grandkids, you know, the answer to what you're asking is yes, but not right now. But I know they want to hear yes. They don't want to understand if I just say wait. So they'll say, Grandpa, Grandma, can we go to get some ice cream? Well, of course. What's the problem? Of course we can go get ice cream. Yes, but just not right now. Well, maybe right now. I've changed my mind. Or sometimes when children may ask for something, and we say, I know what you've asked for, but no, I have something better in mind. Something better. That could be what God would say to us. We have a need that we think, this is on my mind right now, this is what I think I need, and God says, I hear that, but you know what, I think I have something better in store. Or God just may say, like Paul with a thorn in the flesh, he prayed persistently and earnestly for it, but it didn't go away, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Continue your ministry, Paul. I can't take that thorn away. There may be some things in your life and mine that prayer is not going to change. But when prayer doesn't change the thing, prayer changes me. So God has answered that prayer. Yes, I can't change the thing, but Brian, I'll change you so that you can go through it. Or God may say, I'll send an angel to strengthen you. That's what he did with his own son in the garden, remember? Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will, or Jesus prayed, no, it'd be possible, let this cup pass from me. What did God say? No. The answer is no, son. Your son, God, you'll answer his prayer exactly as he requests. The answer is no, son. The answer is no. But I'll send you an angel to strengthen you so that you can go through what you have to go through. See how God answers prayers? When God doesn't change the thing, then God changes me. When he can't change the circumstance, he'll change something. That I can last through. I may think God would move me out of this neighborhood. The answer is no, I can't move. I have to live with it. God, I have this illness. Heal me. Maybe it's an illness that can't be healed, but due to medical reasons. But I'm saying, God, help me. But God said, I can't fix that, but I'll give you this grace, and I'll send you an angel to strengthen you. See, some things we're going to have to live with the rest of our life. That doesn't mean God hasn't answered. Live right so that you get the best response. Mm-hmm. dies for remission of sin. We can accomplish that. And the common formula or steps or recipe we always say, you need to hear God's message through the Bible. What does God have in store for me? What does He want me to do? What kind of response am I to make? And so when we read the Bible story, we believe that God sent His Son, number two. We believe that. And He's the promised Messiah. And then as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, repent or perish. We want to turn our life around. I want to live a good life. And then number four, we'll confess our faith that Jesus is the Son of God, like the Ethiopian did when he said to Philip, oh, here's water. Anything stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus